This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
The Guardian Leviosa.
Now on,
you do as I tell you.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, wonderful, and I don't know what she's doing with her life co-host, Monica. Hello, Monica.
this co-host with her life today bought a new desk. So that's something that she did, and she's really excited because that will also basically get rid of the, and maybe not probably, so will not get rid of, but it will lessen the pain of me being loud, as we just previously talked about. So I'm moving my office to where it's now, to the living room, which is further away to where people are sleeping. And well, I did not forget to buy something to buy for the living room because I am now without a sofa, but with a desk.
Well, desk is pretty important. You know, if you're going to be loud on Twitch till all hours of the night, you know.
Well, that is also not really happening, but at least it makes it easier in the evenings, which it is now. Exactly, all hours to the 10 p.m., if even.
Mm-hmm. My desk is now the kitchen table, but we just have no kitchen table, but we didn't know what to do with the chairs. So they're kind of lined up in along the wall. Like it's almost like a waiting room for like a dentist or something in there. Oh,
like I saw your Insta story and I was like, that's hilarious. I love it.
Nice. That is epic though. Should try that too. We have too many chairs in the dining room as well, and nothing fits in there properly, so we should probably get rid of some of those as well.
Why don't you make the dining room into your office and move the table into the living room and have like a giant living room dining room?
No. Where do I couch then? I need couch more than I need a dining room.
I was just a suggestion. Put the couch in where you are now.
No. Then I can't watch TV in here. It's too loud.
You know those cool tables that like starts low like a coffee table but gets tall?
That's what my desk is now.
Oh, it's sit-stand desk. Yeah, the one I'm at right now, which is where my husband usually works because it has the better mic. But it's a sit-stand desk.
Yeah, exactly. So sit and stand one with electrical can drive up and down.
Fancy. Oh, this one's not that fancy. The crank one.
Oh, nice. So if people that are not on Twitch listen to us now, you've probably already heard that we have a guest on.
Yay! I am excited about this guest, actually, because I would like to introduce my friend, Ellie McBride, who is my in-real-life friend from Belfast. We are
so excited.
Both North Americans living in Northern Ireland, and that's pretty much how we became friends, because we were in the same kind of business community, and we were like, oh, you're from North America? I'm from North America. We should probably hang out. And then we did. I got very drunk the first time we hung out.
Yes, we did. And I made you go to karaoke because that's what I do. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's basically soulmate ship right there. Mm-hmm. If you go through the karaoke Christianization, then it's settled, basically.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's just like we've been friends ever since. Like before we were like, we know each other because we're in the same business community, but we've been friends ever since that day.
Yeah, we were like, let's go have pizza and like get to know each other and end up at a karaoke bar until 1 a.m. Sure.
I mean, you repeat the same patterns with people, I notice. I don't feel special anymore now.
I'm sorry.
Rude.
You are special though. And that was a karaoke bar until like 3 or 4 a.m, Monica. So you totally have that. It's the latest I've ever done karaoke.
Well, that's probably the late. No, it's at least no. Wasn't the latest I've ever been out, but it was very close to that.
Fair enough. Tom's sitting in chat saying that he didn't do karaoke with Ellie, and that's true, but I think you picked my very drunk ass up from karaoke with Ellie, so it kind of counts.
We will, when the pandemic's over and we're allowed to karaoke again, Tom, we will go karaoke.
Yes.
When will the pandemic ever be over? 2043?
Yeah, maybe.
if we're lucky.
It'll be a while, I think, but
yeah.
Yeah, so Ellie is officially a Squarespace web designer, but she started her new business or her business as a tech VA because she moved to Northern Ireland and was like, I really miss going back to Oregon. And I feel this on a soul level because this is what I did too, because I was like, I miss going back to Canada. So we built online businesses.
Yes. Built my business with the sole purpose of having a remote business that was flexible enough that I could move it pretty much wherever. And then spent the time to build it up, left my day job, did all the stuff, saved up some money so that I could go home for longer periods of time or in an emergency. And then a pandemic happened and I can't go anywhere and I haven't been home in a year.
No. Oh, that you're such a... when did you start your business?
January will be 3 years.
Oh, it will be three. Okay. I thought you might be because then the pandemic happened.
General virtual assistant, kind of that very quickly morphed into being a tech VA because there's just nobody that really does that in Northern Ireland. And then I had too many clients. Which is, I know that sounds bad, but it's like I had like 15 to-do lists that I was tracking and 15 people that could potentially pop into my inbox any day. And that was rather overwhelming. And so I've moved to bigger, shorter term projects as opposed to lots of ongoing small work.
Yes.
And it has saved my sanity, genuinely.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally relate.
Transition that I'm making. And I think Monica is kind of in there as well somehow.
Well, I already have very few clients, but it's still like I've been there where I've had like 10, 15 people and it's just you can't. They're all like 5-hour clients and you're like, well, no worries at all, no problem. And when you have shit boundaries like I do, then it's just, sure, I can do 20 things at the same time with 500 people. And of course, I am very great at communicating and will never at all ghost you. Please insert big sarcasm here because that's all I do. So yeah, totally. Like it's just you can't handle so many plates at the same time. It's just for your sanity. And when you're alone, I think when you have a team or something that you can and a structure that works well, but if you're handling it alone, it's just
I like we've talked about briefly, I'm a really, really organized person and I had boundaries and I had systems and I had like all the stuff. But even with that, there's a cap, right?
Yeah.
Like there's just a cap for how you can function and how many – because even if I wasn't helping, like they're still taking up brain space. You're still thinking.
Yeah.
You have it all written down. It's all in the product management. Each person and each email takes up brain space and power that you don't necessarily have before. So I needed the shift and I'd already built a bunch of Squarespace websites and thought, you know what? I'm just going to pour a lot into this and get really, really good at it and learn some code and get better.
Yeah. Nice.
Good. So before we get into our interview and talk about what we're talking today, Ellie, let's hop into our rapid fire round.
Okay.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from a small rodeo town in Oregon, which is like I'm always bad at maps. Upper left, I guess, Pacific Northwest in the States. It's the one above California because a lot of people are like Oregon. it's Portland, which is quite a big thing politically right now. So you might have heard of it lately.
Something special politically right now.
What are your preferred pronouns?
She, her.
And when are you a geek since? So maybe a year and maybe a story of your first geeky experience?
I think I inherited it a little bit. My dad's a big geek. But I think when I first started like properly realizing I was a geek was definitely I had a would have been like 2007-ish. So I had a teacher in high school who she taught English and I had her first my sophomore year. And no matter what level of language she was teaching you, she always worked in science fiction and myth books, just how it was. Nice. And then for seniors, every other year she taught science fiction and mythology. And so you can think of it as either a junior or senior. And it was available my senior year of high school, but I also it wasn't available for college credit. And I was doing dual credit at the time. So my senior year, I actually took two full language courses the whole year so that I could get college credit and take science fiction and mythology.
That's nice.
That's like, I have a teacher that was similar to that, and we had like a modern fantasy English class, and yeah, it was just the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that she, like, her name was Miss Tivanelle, which is like a weird, we all just called her Tuvi. And she's just the like coolest human. She's the coolest.
Nice. And what are some of your biggest geeky influences?
Okay. Oof, there's a lot from like, but I think the biggest thing is definitely Joss Whedon stuff. And I know that that is a whole thing these days, but like when I was a teenager, Buffy, Dollhouse, and Firefly still, I have a Firefly tattoo. Like, so just because the Firefly tattoo is like the whole, I'm a leaf on the wind, watch how I soar thing. And that's very in my head. Like, I'm going to get where I'm going. Don't F with me.
Nice.
Like, life has to be flexible to an extent, but I'm still getting where I'm going. Yeah. So other things, big fan of Scott Westerfeld, and loved like Peeps and Extras and, you know, the Ugly series, I guess the whole thing. Love Doctor Who and Torchwood, massively. Yeah. There's definitely more. I feel like I'm blinking a little, but like, I like a lot of that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
That's already a good yeah. list of things.
For sure. And what are your current geeky pastimes?
Geeky pastimes. I feel like I have less geeky pastimes than I once did. I still read geeky books from time to time, and I'll just go through phases where I'll devour like a whole YA series. Like Amanda and I recently both devoured the whole series. I started yesterday for the first time ever. No, not yesterday. Sunday. I played D&D for the first time.
Nice.
With my kid sibling, they're 16, and we're the dungeon master, and I have to play now for at least two more weekends. So I'll see. It was really slow going the first time. I was really lost, but I'm learning. And it was actually pretty cool once I like was able to understand what the heck I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah. D&D is one of those things. It's like, it's a lot of fun, but also if you like your first couple sessions or your first session with people who know what they're doing, you're like, oh, I have no idea what I'm doing.
I think it's also interesting because we're all doing it. Like it was three households here in Northern Ireland. And then my siblings all the way back in Oregon. And so like, and we're all doing this virtually, you know, in Discord, learning new things. I'm feeling, yeah. Every once in a while I feel old when these things have to happen. And then other, let's see here. I guess my husband's recently started playing loads of video games, and video games weren't allowed in my house growing up. So like video games are not a huge thing. Although the only video game I've ever finished, and I have a massive obsession with the whole thing, is Jade Empire. Like just amazing. Always play as Boo the Lotus Blossom. It's just a thing. The only thing I've been playing are like, I really got obsessed for a while with Lego Brawls, and I still play it. I'd say at least once a week on my phone. And Sneaky Sasquatch is another Apple Arcade game, and it's just so much fun to go around.
Oh, is that the one that we played at your house that night, or the morning after the other time we got really drunk together?
Yeah, so I think so. Yeah, it's essentially you go around as a Sasquatch, and you're trying to save the park from like some guy who's trying to buy and bulldoze and turn it into a strip mall or something. I don't know. A lot of fun, and then but the thing about it, it's been really good, is that it's on Apple Arcade, and they just keep building onto it. So you finish the first mission, and then they give you a second mission, and then they add like a new part of the town, and then there's suddenly like this other thing, and the map just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and the tasks are getting more. So yeah, I definitely will lose like a day or a few hours, but that's kind of the extent of my gaming. But yeah, that's kind of my current geeky pastimes, is more reading and some games and learning to play D&D.
Nice. Geeky doesn't necessarily need to mean constantly playing video games.
There's loads of things that are geeky. Trust me, I know.
Yeah, so that's to learn D&D is also amazing. I just watched a friends of ours stream a D&D session, like a one-off, and I was like, I have no idea how you're doing this, and then they're doing all the numbers and all the maths, and I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't participate in this in the end, because what?
Oh, well, I've got news for you, Monica. Gemma and I are planning something, and you're involved. So...
Damn it.
So
I mean, I guess if it's here, then I'm gonna do it, right?
It's for geek herring, so you have to be here. So
damn it.
Oh, damn it.
Well, it was really enjoyable watching it because you just can experience the story and all that, and you don't have to like figure out what's going on. And it, but and then I saw like there were a few new people joining as well in their round who've never played D&D before, and I'm like, oh my god, you're already having a hard time, and I have like literally no idea what's going on, and you felt like so much smarter than me when you were talking about this. So I'm like, this would have ended horribly if I had joined. And oh my god, now we're doing something. Mm-hmm. Okay, good that I get news about this.
Yeah, it's in a Trello card that I was eventually maybe going to talk to you about, but it's cool. Let's get back on topic. So Ellie, what's the geeky thing we're talking about today?
Why women can handle themselves in tech. And so that's, I guess, the other big geeky thing is I was a tech VA for just over 2 years, and now I build Squarespace websites. And the big thing that I see every single day is women coming to me and saying, I'm not techie. I can't figure this thing out in my business because I'm not techie. And I get this every single day. And I think that I totally get where it's coming from. So I'm not trying to discount that. But also, I kind of think it's a little bit of BS. Like it's stuff that we've been told. It's like a little bit of overwhelm. It's information overload on the internet. Obviously, like trying to find an answer to something is tough if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, especially. And so what I do and what I'm building a whole second business around is helping people feel comfortable and capable in their businesses, not just with tech, but especially with tech, but with other things, because I think that there's so much of the behind the scenes of like how a business actually functions that is kept kind of like secret and behind the curtain, and people like don't always share these things. And it, like, I understand not sharing like necessarily your secret sauce in your business, but not sharing like how you set up your email marketing makes no sense to me. And so I'm going to make sure that happens.
Nice. I do, like, we're working in a similar field in general. So I also do like websites and also the techie part of all my clients. And it's just interesting to see. And I, as you said, you think it's kind of like maybe it's bullshit and maybe it's not bullshit. And I think it's absolutely bullshit because there is part of because tech is not as complicated as people deem it to be. So there is this super huge stranger that they see across the street and they're like, you look dangerous. But without even getting to know the person behind it, not everything is dangerous that you don't know yet. And we have the tendency, or women in general have the tendency, to be all like, this is a man's job. Like, men can drive cars and men can do techie things and men fix the TV and all that shit. But it's also us giving up that space. Like, we could do that. We are so capable of doing that, all of that. But just because we're giving up that space doesn't mean A, we're not capable of doing that at all. And that it's so complicated that our woman brain can't wrap the head around it.
Yeah, absolutely, women are capable of handling anything in tech that they want to. I think it's also like a certain amount of society has told us that we can't do all of these things, and we've bought in to an extent. I mean, and it's pretty extreme, like especially all the things that it takes to run a business. Women have been told, we're not allowed to handle money. Like, I think it was only just over 50 years ago that women were allowed to have a bank account in the UK without a cosigner on their own. Like, only just over 50 years. So women are not told they're not allowed to handle money. They can't handle tech. And if they're going to run a business, they need to do it like a man. And that is all complete just garbage. And gets me a little bit of like on my little soapbox and a little ranty. So
love me some rant.
But that's something I'm really passionate about, is helping women to feel like they can understand their tech. So when I work with my clients and such, or in my community, which is called Tech Tuesdays, mostly because we have calls on Tuesdays to solve tech problems. I create a lot of Loom videos recording things that I'm doing so people can learn how to do it themselves. Like, I'm not just here to do it for you. You need to pick it up, learn it. Your tool, you're going to be using it in your business, right? So I think outsourcing is absolutely, like, I was a VA and now I'm still like in the service industry. Like, outsourcing is all great, but there's some things you have to learn to do. a good VA should have some boundaries, right? They might not be available when you want them at 2 a.m. or something.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I don't consider myself like super, super techie. Like I can do the basics. I can do what I need to do in order to keep my business running for the most part. And like everything else, I have Monica and Tom. I'm like, oh, hello, I'm in partnership. So you two do the super techie stuff. But like, there, like, absolutely, there's the everything that as a woman, I can do this and it doesn't hold me back in any kind of way, nor should it. Mm-hmm. But it definitely is something that as we grow up, I think for women our age and especially older women, like these courses in school weren't designed for women. Like we were actively encouraged or discouraged to go into tech. And like I say this, I went to high school in the early 2000s, which, you know, that wasn't as long ago as like some women I know, Ellie, that you work with, for example. And I was one of three women in my tech classes. And it's like,
I was the only one. Mm-hmm. Like we had there was one class where we had to, and that was thinking back on that, that's pretty fucking weird. We had the one that needed to be attended, like everybody, the whole class had to attend this IT class, and they split us up, and they split us up into boys and girls. So I was already in the big, it wasn't related to the numbers because I think the girls group was bigger. So it wasn't that the boys group was just like they split it because of numbers and whatever. So there was definitely a gender split there. And then because you could have electives, and I also took the elective, and there I was the only one in a group of like seven or eight. That was the only girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What you said previously, I just have to think about this situation that I had with a friend of mine once, because she got divorced and moved into a new flat, right? And then her landlord was there, and she was a woman as well, and they had issues with the heating there and stuff like that. And she constantly said to that woman that she doesn't know all this stuff because she's a woman and she doesn't know all the thing. And I was standing next to her and I was getting super angry at my friend because I'm like, why the fuck do you say you don't know this shit because you're a woman? And then when her landlady left, I was like, what the fuck was that? Because do you really think that my boyfriend will not be able to do anything that you just told this woman you cannot do because you're a woman? And there are so many ways to get around to fix a problem that has nothing to do with your fucking gender. Whether or not you're a woman or not has nothing to do whether you know things about the heating or not. Yes, your ex-husband might have known all that crap, but you don't know this. You don't not know this because you're a woman. You don't know this because you don't give a shit about that, and not because your gender is affecting your knowledge about that specific topic. As I said, my boyfriend, no, zero clue about any of this because he doesn't care. He doesn't need it. And that's why he doesn't know it. And if we know it, yeah, exactly. Like Ollie said, oops, sorry, I can't fix a boiler because I have female genitals. And I'm like, well, stuffing a penis in there doesn't make it work either. So
it's like you don't know what you don't know. It has nothing to do with gender. It has nothing to do with your sex. It's everything about like what you know and what you don't know and what you're willing to learn.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I think it's the exact same thing with tech as well. Like it doesn't, it's not like maths is not something that's specific for a male brain, and so is tech isn't either.
Right. Yeah. And I think that comes up quite a lot. And I think people just kind of, you're right, see it as a big scary thing and they get overwhelmed really, really easily. And I think that running a business is tough enough, like for anybody, but especially for women, for all the things we've talked about. Like we have not up until recently been taught much about how to handle money, how to do all those things. Like not that schools are really teaching that well, I think, to anybody ever lately anyhow, but because I wouldn't say like my brother was taught how to manage money and he's, you know, but I think that running a business is tough in the first place. And I think some people would see it as they're like, it's hard enough to do the stuff that they want to do in business or that they're good at. And so, but those are the things, like if you've chosen to run a business, you have to, you know, you end up being, you have to have a little bit of knowledge about pretty much everything happening in your business. At least, like, I'm not an expert copywriter at all. but like I have to be able to write my own posts sometimes. Like those kinds of things. Like you have to do the things you know you don't like or aren't necessarily quote unquote good at, and you get better as you go.
Mm.
And I think it's the mindset. I think one of the biggest things that isn't really taught for a lot of people is the kind of, and I'm going to use this word sort of loosely, like the debugging mindset of tech, because it's when something breaks, and this might not be, you know, I barely write code. So this is like, but when your integration between your two softwares fails and you're having to figure out exactly what happened. Like I get people that I built their websites like over a year ago that are like, my newsletter box isn't working. And I'm like, cool. Have you checked it? Like, and they haven't, and they don't even know like to disconnect it and reconnect their MailChimp in their Squarespace box.
Mm.
And that's like, I don't know how much of my like mind boggling of that is A, my career, or B, the fact that I'm a millennial, but like it genuinely like, whoa, for me.
I don't even think it has anything to do with millennials or with us being millennials, and therefore we have a bigger understanding of that. Because that's initially also something I thought, that maybe it's something generational. So the younger generation knows more already than we do, and we know more than the one before us. And then I studied educational science, and then I saw that there are young, also women, mostly because in educational science, you have most of them as well. No clue, zero clue, can't fix a proper PowerPoint presentation for the life of them. And I'm like, how the fuck did you actually get through life like that? How did you go through school without being able to do these simple things? So I'm not even thinking it's something, yes, of course, generational to a degree, but that doesn't mean that the younger generation automatically knows more about bigger integration and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think the other thing that women kind of think of is that what tech is code and stuff. Whereas like I would say that I work in tech as a virtual assistant or Squarespace designer or helping people with integrations and email marketing. And like you don't have to, like the tech industry is really, really big. My husband is a software developer. And so like I'm immersed in this, like the deep end sometimes where he's talking about stuff that is literally so far above my head. But then it's interesting because then it can be flipped. I can be talking about something else that he doesn't get, because we're just in different ends of it. We're doing totally different things. And so like you can, when people say they're not techie, I think it means that they think that they're like not able to, you don't have to build apps and shit. Like you don't have to do that to be into tech, to be capable with tech, to be using tech effectively in your life and business to make more space. That's the biggest thing for me in everything, is using technology to make more space for doing things outside, like in the outside world, right? So whether that be playing games or for reading your books or crocheting, as it's been for me a lot lately, or for going for a hike or spending time with your kids or whatever it is, like technology, both in your life and your business, can save you so many like little repetitive fucking tasks. And that's what, for me, technology is all about.
Yeah. Beata in chat said that she has encountered millennials having the same issues, which don't have problem solving skills. Mm-hmm. And Mel mentions that she thinks the issue is that parents care for everything and people aren't used to dealing with stuff on their own. So usually it's like, I don't know how this works. And she means, let's be serious. You can Google everything these days and solve problems.
Yes. And I think the other thing, though, is what I've found is a lot of people don't have the critical skills for even Googling, because to find the solution, you have to know the right question to ask Google. And I found that some people don't actually have that skill set, which is interesting. Because you can spend a lot of time Googling because there's so much information out there, especially like, you know, even me, like I sometimes have to open like 3 or 4 links to find the right thing when I'm trying to solve something that's just not working, because inevitably that is how tech goes. Like it's a bunch of crazy gobbledygook that somehow works out. And sometimes something's just not working. Like right before I got on this call, or right before dinner rather, I was trying to put a product block into a Squarespace page. I'd put in the product. The product wouldn't show up. I did a hard refresh. I cleared my cookies. I tried it in another browser. I did all the things. It's still not working. Eventually I got a 504 error, which means the Squarespace is having server issues.
Those are the best ones, because you're like, it's not my cup of tea, because that's on your end. Then I can
I'll go eat dinner. But those are the types of things. Like, I spent a while being like, what did I do wrong? And I didn't do anything wrong. So it's interesting. It is interesting to think about those things and why we tend to think that we can't do something. And I would be the first person who would say that something big and unfamiliar would be really overwhelming for me. I have a tendency, I have a track record, not just a tendency, a track record of unfinished projects when I get too overwhelmed. In the third grade, I had to write 5-hour reports. I only wrote 3. That's only, and then in, when I was in the 11th grade, I had to do it was a civics class, and we had to do a timeline project. It was like a third of our grade. They gave us like very, very minimal description of what needed to happen. And because it was not structured enough for me, I couldn't do it. Like, I just could not do it. And I got a C in the class. Otherwise, I would have gotten straight A's. And the teacher still recommended me for honors because he knew that was the only thing that held me back from passing that class. And I had asked him, like, I'd been direct and, like, been like, I need more direction. And he's like, no, this is just it. So, like, I will be the first to admit that I can get overwhelmed with these things. But that doesn't, like, you can take breaks. Come back. Right? Take a break when you get overwhelmed with whatever it is and come back. There's also the whole, the best thing I think about technology is this whole like chat forums and stuff. Like I can find almost any solution to my Squarespace issues in Squarespace chat forums. So they have the regular one. They have Circle for like people who build sites. And then there's Facebook groups. Like I pay for a membership where there's a Facebook group filled with mostly women building Squarespace sites. And the reason I pay is not just for the Facebook group, but because I also get a whole bunch of custom code snippets that I can use to customize sites. And so like the resources for people who maybe like aren't techie, because if you were to put me next to my husband, I'm not techie. Like, and that's not because I'm a woman. It's because I haven't gone and studied how to do code and software and stuff the way he has. I could.
And that doesn't mean.
It tells me to. And I haven't.
Yeah, that brings up a point. For me, it's like, because I don't consider myself super techie, but it's not that I'm afraid of tech, but I find this balance where it's like, what would be more cost effective for me if I teach myself or get somebody to teach me how to do this and it's something that I'm going to use over and over and over again? Or is it something that I would do once? And would it be more cost effective time-wise and financially to outsource it so I don't actually have to learn that? So I think like that's, and that's why I would hire somebody like you, Ellie, to do it for me, or Monica, or Tom, or somebody like way more technical than me, because it is like that a cost balance for me when it comes to learning, teaching myself tech, or learning in another way.
And that's something I do talk about quite a lot in my business as a whole, is the whole time and money and energy are all like the same thing. This is this triangle, and you're always choosing what to invest in and what to spend. And the thing is you're right. Time is the one thing you can't get back. You can make more money. You can revitalize your energy. But you do have to think about how you're spending all three of those things really wisely.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I know that Monica and I have definitely had conversations where I'm like, Monica, can you just do it? Or like, can you do this? Because it will take me an hour and it will take you like 10 minutes. And she's just like, oh, well, you do it. And I'm like, no, please.
And I think you're right. Like that's why I often really advocate with my, when I do Squarespace sites, like, or really most of what I've done in the past, but Squarespace sites now, is I build the site out because that's sort of the complicated part, is setting it all up. And then everybody gets a course that I've created so they can learn how to modify it themselves. If they need to switch out a photo, they don't need to bother me. If they need to do whatever and those kinds of things, because you can learn, but sometimes you're right. Investing in setting up a Squarespace website, especially if you want any kind of customizations done, it can be kind of like, definitely not worth my time. I had a friend tell me that it took them 6 weeks to piece together their Squarespace site because they were like, you know, on all the YouTube things and all the blogs, and it took them a while to kind of figure it all out and get all the things they wanted done. Whereas I could have done, like looking at their site, I could have done it in 3 hours.
This is feeling very relatable right now because I have a domain. I have, Monica's given me WordPress Divi. I've got it all like back end ready to go. And I'm like, how do I actually make this? What do I do? I'm even using a template and it looks terrible. What am I but I'm determined I will do it myself. But I'm like, for flip's sake, this is tough.
But that's it's always a learning curve, but like it will be easier if you ever need to do it again. And I think in the digital entrepreneurship space, like the chances of you needing to do it again are actually relatively high. Like some, we're always shifting our businesses, modifying our businesses, growing in our business, sometimes creating new businesses, pivoting. Like that's the thing is you need to, that's part of why you need to understand your tech is so you can change things as you change.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is one of the reasons why I am determined to do it myself, because I'm like, well, this is for a little bit of a pivot. So let's keep on at it.
Mel and Peter both said a few more interesting things. Mel said previously that when we talked about the younger generation not being able to figure shit out on their own, that she always thought the younger generation is a bit smarter, especially girls and women, but sometimes she's wondering how they already struggle with the small things. And so that I only think about my 16-year-old self and I'm like, she wouldn't have figured shit out back then. So I give the younger generation a bit more credit than I think that what it looks like right now, because I think we've all been at a place where also when we were younger, we were like, can everybody just please do this for me? Or you get into this change in life where then just you make it work. And that's maybe that's the adulting part in us all, even though I'm not sure how many of you feel very adult. I don't. So even though I still feel like I'm 18, I know there are things that I am doing that my 16-year-old self would be like super impressed with, because wow, that's such an adult thing that you're doing right there. And so that's maybe just something that with more life experience, there comes more, I don't know, resilience, more kind of problem solving capability, if you want to call it that. And Beata then also said that to what we just previously mentioned, that it also depends on what you actually have in terms of your resources. Some people have no money but the time, others have the money but no time.
Oh, absolutely.
So that according to the triangle that you mentioned before.
I think from my perspective, a lot of it is my demographic. I mostly work with solo entrepreneur women that are kind of in this cusp of like they've been running their business for a bit and they've hit this cap and they don't really have the bandwidth to properly hire. They might be able to get a VA, but then training that VA seems really overwhelming. So in my case, a lot of my job was making them feel like they didn't have to do anything, which is overwhelming on as a VA sometimes to be like, I'm just going to do all the things. But they also don't can't grow any further and make any more money. And so that's a lot of what I would do is set up the types of systems that would help people get back some time. So I would go in and set up scheduling software or, you know, client onboarding systems, those types of things that made it so that their like day-to-day admin was just way easier. And I do that like personally, not for anybody professionally, but in my own life, I do that all the time too. Like I have a spreadsheet. I have a meal rota. I have four week rotas of food planned out all the time.
That is so the opposite of me. It's like I'm impressed over here. I'm like, chaos and mayhem. Yay. There's nothing in the fridge. I will get some food eventually. I think I need to go shopping for 2 weeks now and I still didn't. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. Cheers. Like,
it takes all types to make the world go round. And I think for me, like it's a lot of things, but like it's partially personality type. And I think it's also partially like coping mechanism for life. Like I don't deal well with disorder. And that's part of my anxiety. And I've learned to create Uber order so that I feel like I can control things. And I've also had to learn how to like not feel like I have to control everything. Like it's a, yeah.
So I want to hear more about your new business if you want to take a second.
Okay.
Or catch up after the podcast.
I get like, so a lot of it is based on this whole idea that women are told over and over again and have internalized quite frequently that they are not capable of running the nitty gritty parts of business. And I think, like we've talked about, that's bullshit. And I think also that oftentimes women are told that they, like we talked about briefly, that women are told to run a business like a man. And I think also I think that's bullshit. And so basically, there are all of these amazing, amazing resources when you're a woman in business for coaching and mindset shifts and kind of brainstorming and goal setting and all of that. And that's all really, really, really important. But there is almost nothing out there for somebody to peel back the curtain and say, this is exactly how it's done. Like, this is how you do this thing. and I'm going to create that. I have a plan in place. It's going to be called The Capable Collective. I will be starting my own podcast.
Nice.
Scared, because I was supposed to have a friend with me on the
No, it's
and
great.
Now I have to do it alone. But so
it's also great if you do. You have the structure. You can do mm-hmm. this.
Well, the good thing is, the only thing to say, the good thing about that is, I am a really good talker. Can you tell?
Perfect. That's all you need for a podcast.
Basics of it are that I think that. The core of it is that women throughout history overall do things as a team. They do things as a network. Children were raised en masse. The community was fed by the women as a team. Why old wives' remedies for things were taught down and down and down, and the whole community was taken care of, and secrets were shared, and nobody did anything alone. You didn't give birth without your women there. Like, just everything was done as a team. As a collective. That's the word. So I am creating The Capable Collective, and it's going to be a team of women who come together. It's going to be seasonal, 3 months and then a period of rest, and then 3 months and then a period of rest. There will be three seasons a year where we get together and hunker down and share everything. And I'm planning on hosting most of it in Circle, because what I like about that is that it's unlike a Facebook group and unlike Slack or anything like that. It is an asynchronous platform, which means you can create a proper database that people can go in and find things in later and still be contributing to the conversation, but you don't have to like search way back into the things to find the one, you know, that conversation about email marketing. That conversation about email marketing will be like a big subheader that people will be commenting underneath at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really still in like relatively early days. I've got a really basic website. It's not up yet. I've got spent part of my morning trying to figure out podcast music, which is like a whole world of itself. Got really lost into the rabbit hole for that today. I'm really passionate about it. I definitely already cried about it today, because if I'm not between a 4 and a 7 on the scale of something when I'm passionate or sad, or like the 4 or 7 on the emotional scale, I'm crying. So I can be too sad, too excited, too angry, too passionate. And I just cry. Like, that is, so, and that's really I've had to like come to grips with too, because I can be having like a really professional conversation, but if it means a lot to me, I'm crying. Like, but I also got that on both sides. My dad and my mom both cry at the drop of a hat. Like, I had no hope.
Amazing.
So yeah, I'm creating that, and it's kind of started off right now as the really basics in my Tech Tuesday group, which I'll probably be renaming as like The Capable Collective 1.0. And so we meet twice a month on Zoom calls, and we chat about any issues you're having with your tech and your business or in your life, and kind of what people are using for solutions. If there's something, you know, you can submit your questions in advance if they're challenging, and that way I can go and research them and come back to you. And then there's also a Facebook group for some support in between calls. So, Pretty cool. And I've got a lot of plans still to do to make it happen, but I'm hoping to have like the full thing in fruition. The podcast by the end of the year, and the rest of it probably spring. I don't know, maybe earlier. Perfect. Definitely by spring. Good.
Amazing.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited, and I definitely want to pick your brain and hear more about it as you go. So yeah, keep in touch with me about that. Now, Ellie, we normally ask like the question about what advice would you give young kids interested in getting involved in this, but I'm going to switch it up. What advice would you give women hesitant to even start learning about tech to start embracing the easiest tech they can in their life?
So I'd say pick your most time-consuming problem in your life or your business, and then ask a few people that you know or running a business if they have a solution, people you trust, so it doesn't feel big or scary. You can also, you know, of course, Google it. I think that sometimes the best places to find those types of solutions is actually like blogs, but not any blogs. Like, I really like, as a kind of ops professional, that's what I would call myself, is like sometimes would be like Zapier's blog, because they'll say, here are the top apps that handle this problem, and you can kind of see what people are using. But I think that I always tell people, like, don't feel like you have to jump in, like, the full-on deep end at first, because there's a lot of things you could do. Pick the thing that's taking up the most of your time and find a tech solution to solve it. The other thing that you can do is I have a freebie on my website. It is a Trello board. It's just a free Trello board filled with, like, my blog posts that include my top favorite things, systems for onboarding clients, offboarding clients, getting testimonials, filled with templates I've created. Essentially, I poured everything from my days as a tech VA that I don't really get to do with people anymore into a Trello board that's really organized. So you can say, that's my problem. I'm going to fix that. And you don't have to, like, dive into the whole thing if you don't want.
Oh, I love nice. That. I'll probably check that out because I don't think I've seen that. So I'll check that out because always good to see those kind of solutions for your business. So thank you so much, Ellie, for this conversation. I had a lot of fun.
Me too.
Same.
It's always fun to talk about the things you're really passionate about with other people that get it. Like, it's awesome.
Yes. So good. So good.
It was great.
Tell our listeners where they can find you and learn more about you and your business.
So the only social media I really properly use is Instagram, and that's at Calibrated Concepts. And then my website is calibratedconcepts.com, and that has a blog and such as well, and some fun freebies and resources for you. If you can't spell Calibrated Concepts, don't feel bad. My husband can't even spell it. And so
I'll have it all in the show notes anyway.
You can also go to elliemcbride.com, and that is the same thing.
Perfect.
Fantastic.
Well, Bean,
thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun.
So thanks so much for doing this with us. It was great fun.
It was
so good. Seeing other people doing the same similar stuff, and
yeah,
it's great.
We'll have to hang out, and maybe I'll have you on my podcast once I get it going.
Sounds good.
Oh, always. So see you again for another amazing episode next week. Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.